Samuel chapter 14, verse 14, has the outline of my message in it this morning. I think it's a very remarkable verse, very wonderful verse in the Bible. I just want to tell you a little bit of the story that's going on behind it, and then I want to get right to my message this morning. David had a son named Absalom. He had a half-brother who was also David's son named Amnon. Absalom had a sister named Tamar, and her half-brother Amnon raped her. For 2 years, Absalom planned his revenge, and in 2 Samuel chapter 13, you can read the story. I won't take time to read it this morning, but he carried out that revenge. He killed his half-brother Amnon. And in verse 37 of chapter 13, the Bible says, "But Absalom fled and went to Talmai, the son of Amad, king of Geser," and that was where his mother was from. His mother was actually the daughter of this king, so he went to be with his grandfather. And after he left, for 3 years, David longed to bring him home. The Bible says, in fact, let me read you a few verses, "And David mourned for his son Absalom every day. And the soul of King David longed to go forth unto Absalom. The king's heart was toward Absalom. And even though he longed to bring him home, and even though he wanted to bring him home, he didn't, because he didn't know how. He didn't know how to take care of the sin. He didn't know how Absalom was to pay for the sin. David had a general named Joab, and he saw that that the king's heart was after Absalom, and so he devised a plan to get him home. He called for a widow, a lady, from a place named Tekoa, and he had the lady tell the king a story, made-up story. You can read it in chapter 14, but I'll just tell it to you real quickly. She said, "I want you to tell the king that a widow," and that's true, "but I want you to tell him that you have two sons." And the two sons got into an argument, and one killed the other. "And tell him that now members of your family have come to you, and they want your other son so that they can kill him." And the lady went to David and told this story. And, of course, David saw through the story. I mean, the Holy Spirit revealed to him that it was a made-up story. He said, "Tell me now, isn't Joab behind all this?" And she said, "Yes." But as the lady was having that conversation with David, here's what David told her. He said, "We're not going to give your other son to those that want to take revenge. We're not going to take your only living son, your only descendant, and we're not going to let him be killed." And here's what the lady said in verse 13, right before the verse we read. "And the woman said, 'Wherefore then hast thou thought such a thing against the people of God? For the king doth speak this thing as one which is faulty, in that the king does not fetch home again his banished.'" What this lady said to David was, "Hey, David, you may be a man after God's own heart, but you're not following his example. Because your banished son, Absalom, is still banished. You said you're willing to forgive my son that killed his brother. Well, why don't you forgive your son that killed his brother? And why don't you figure out a way to get the banished home?" And then she said this, and Adam read it a moment ago. I'll read it again. "For we must needs die, and are as water spilt on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Neither doth God respect any person." I want you to listen to the next part of the verse. "Yet doth he devise means that his banished be not expelled from him." What she was saying to David was, "Hey, God has some banished people also, but he's devised means so that they won't be expelled from him forever. He's devised a way to bring his banished home. And David, you may be a man after God's own heart, but you're not following his example, because we have a God that has put together a plan to bring the banished home." This morning, I want to speak on the subject, the banished brought home. The banished brought home. I have 4 points. Number one, I want you to see who the banished are. In this particular story, in these verses that we read, the banished was this son named Absalom. He had killed his brother. He had run away for fear of punishment. And for 3 years, he lived apart from the king. Now, when we think about those that are banished from God, we got to go back to the very beginning. We got to go back to the Garden of Eden. We got to go back to the first man and the first woman. We got to go back to Adam and Eve. God put them in that garden. He said, hey, everything you see here is for you except this one tree. Don't eat the fruit from this one tree, because in the day that ye eat the fruit, ye shall die. Now, those of you that have read the book of Genesis know that Adam and Eve ate the fruit. They disobeyed God. But they did not physically die the day that they ate the fruit. They did not physically die when they took the bite of that fruit, whatever it was. But they did spiritually die in that God banished them from the Garden of Eden. They did spiritually die because they were banished from God's presence. In the book of Genesis, it says, "And the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden, so he drove out the man." And when sin came into the world, God says, I've got to banish you from my presence. I'm a holy, righteous God. I cannot have you in my presence with your sin. And so I'm going to banish you from my presence. And he kicked Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden. I'll just remind you this morning that when Adam fell and was banished, so were all of us. Because all of us were in him when he sinned. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, Wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. In the book of Romans chapter 5, verse 19, by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl, you are a descendant from Adam. You have a sin nature the moment that you are born. And every single person, sooner or later, if they live long enough, now, I believe little babies, before they reach the age of accountability, before they can tell the difference between right and wrong, if little babies die before that age, they go immediately to be with the Lord. But those of us that reach the age where we can tell the difference between right and wrong, we act on that sin nature that's in us, and we sin. And that makes us a sinner. And that's what that verse is talking about when it says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've acted on our sin nature. We committed a sin. We become sinners. And as sinners, we are banished from the presence of God. And just like David longed to bring Absalom home, so God longs to bring us home. But he goes beyond what David did. He put together a plan for his banished. He put together a plan to bring us home again to him. And I like digging into words and seeing what they mean. You know what the word banished means in Hebrew? It means pushed off. It means pushed off. Pete, stand up for a minute. Here's what it means. I'm God. Pete represents all of us. We fellowship together. But when Adam ate that fruit, when he sinned, here's what God did. I can't be around you. I got to push you off. I got to banish you. Thank you, sir. And that's what he did to every single one of us. We are banished. God had the same longing that David did to bring his banished home, but he did more than David because he devised a means. It says there in that verse, yet doth he devise means that his banished be not expelled from him. That word devised means to come up with a plan. Actually, it's a word that has a two-part meaning, but you got to put them together to understand the word. It means to think about, to plan how to get something done. And God, before we were banished from him, like we talked about last week, he didn't wait till we got in trouble to devise a plan. Before we got in trouble, he devised a plan. And that word devise means that he thought about the plan and counted the cost. That's the second part of it. It's just not only to devise a plan, but to figure out how much it's going to cost before you implement that plan. We talk about salvation as being free, and it is to us. It cost us nothing. But God paid a great price for our salvation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, the Bible says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. That was God's plan. I mean, he had the plan, and he put the cost on it. He knew the price that was going to have to be paid. What does that plan consist of? Let me tell you real quickly. What does it involve? First of all, it involves Jesus. That plan that was devised by God to bring his banished home involves Jesus. 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also hath suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. If Jesus doesn't bring you from your banishment back to the Father, you ain't going to get there. Because there is no other way, no other means to get back to God other than Jesus Christ. So God's plan involved Jesus. It involved the cross, as Brother Wendell sang about a moment ago. John chapter 12, verse 32, and if I be lifted up from earth, will draw all men unto me. Let me just ask you to think with me for a minute. Where do we see the truth of that verse in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, when it says, for the wages of sin is death? Where do we see that? And where do we understand that? And where can we catch a glimpse of what that means? At the cross. At the cross. Where do we see how much God hates sin? At the cross. Where do we see the price that must be paid for sin? At the cross. Where do we see what banishment from God really means? At the cross. Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, hung on that cross and he cried out, my God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why hast thou banished me from your face? Why hast thou pushed me off from you? For the first time in all eternity, God the Father turned his back on God the Son. Again, causing Jesus to cry out, you've forsaken me, I've been banished, you've pushed me off from your presence. We see it at the cross. And God's plan that he devised, it involved Jesus, it involved the cross, it involved the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is that one that right now is pleading with every single person in this room that doesn't know Christ as their Savior and saying to you in a still small voice, hey, what that preacher's talking about is true. Sin separates you from God. You've been pushed off from God. And God put together the plan, and it does involve Jesus, and it does involve the cross, and it does involve me, the Holy Spirit speaking, because it is he that reproves us of sin and woos us to the Savior. And if you're here this morning and there's a still small voice speaking in your heart and your mind, that's who it is. It's the Holy Spirit. Because you see, the Bible says that God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So the banished is all of us. The plan that God devised, the means that God devised to bring the banished home involves Jesus, involves the cross, involves the Holy Spirit. Now, who does that plan include? Notice what that verse says in the very first part of verse 14, or the middle of verse 14. Neither doth God respect any person. You don't have to have a title. You don't have to have a lot of money. You don't have to have an education. Boy, I'm glad that God didn't require any of those, or I'd be lost this morning. I'm glad that God says he's not a respecter of persons. I'm glad God says the plan that I've devised is for every single person. I'm glad that the plan devised, that God devised, is for the poor as well as those that have money. It's for the ignorant as well as those that are smart. It's a plan for those that live on the other side of the tracks, however you want to say it. I'm glad that the plan that God devised didn't leave anybody out. That it's all inclusive. That it includes every single one of us. He's not willing, again, that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And then number four, I want you to notice why you should take it this morning if you haven't. Verse tells us, verse 14 starts out, for it says, "For we must needs die." We must needs die. I can remember my grandpa telling me, two sure things in life, death and taxes. Well, I don't know about taxes, but I know death is sure. If the Lord doesn't come, every single one of us in this room someday will lie in a casket and will be dead. Every single one of us. Bible says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And as is it appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." What that lady said is true. For we must all needs die. And when we die, we're going to go up and stand before God. And we're going to be judged with what we did with the plan that he devised for us to get back from our separation from him. In other words, we're going to be judged as to what we did with Jesus Christ. If you've received him and made him your Savior, when you stand before God, he's going to say, "Come on in, thou good and faithful servant. Welcome home." But if you've rejected Christ, you say, "Well, I've never rejected Christ." That's not the right question. Have you received him? Because if you haven't received him, you've rejected him. And if you haven't rejected Christ, when you die, you're going to stand before God and he's going to say, "Depart from me, for I never knew you. I never knew you." Now, there are some people that will say, "Well, God is such a loving God." He is a loving God. He'll give us a second chance. When we die and we get up there and we've rejected Christ, he won't send us to hell. He'll give us a second chance. I like what this verse says. "For we must needs die and are as water spilt out on the ground, which cannot be gathered up." You ever spill a glass of water on the ground? You ever try to get it back in the glass? Can't do it. Can't do it. And here's what that verse is saying. Hey, once you die, you don't have another chance. Once your heart quits beating, or once your lungs quit breathing, once you die, God's not going to change his mind. There is going to be no second chance. It's going to be like water spilt out on the ground. And what this verse is saying is, look, you've been banished because of your sin. And someday you're going to die and it's going to be too late to receive Jesus Christ. What you need to do is now make that decision to receive Jesus. Because you ain't going to have a chance after your heart quits beating. You ain't going to have a chance after you die and after you're laid in the ground and after you're not going to have another chance. And what this verse is saying to us is, look, God, you've been banished, but God has devised a plan. Why don't you go ahead and take him up on the plan? Why don't you go ahead and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior? In Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 11, the Bible says this, "As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die?" And I think that's a question that the Holy Spirit is asking every single person that's here this morning that doesn't know Jesus Christ. Why will you take the chance of dying this afternoon? Why will you take the chance of dying this week? Why will you take the chance of dying before you have another opportunity to come to Jesus Christ? He's devised a plan. We were banished because of our sin, but he devised a plan to get us back to him. And that plan is Jesus and the cross. Would you take it this morning? The Bible says, for as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the simplicity of the gospel. I mean, we take one little verse in the book of 2 Samuel, and we can see the whole gospel spelled out for us. Thank you for not leaving us pushed off. Thank you for not leaving us with no way to get back. Thank you before we even sinned our first sin for having a plan to get you banished home. And Father, I pray for those that might be here this morning that have never received Jesus Christ as their Savior. Help them to see that now is the accepted time, that today is the day of salvation. And I pray, Father, that you would help them make that decision right now to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. I pray for Christians that are here. We've heard the story many times, but like Brother Wendell this morning, it never fails to move us. Thank you, dear Jesus, for going to the cross and dying in our place. You could have called 10,000 angels, but you died alone, separated from the Father, suffering our hell for us. I pray there's Christians that are here this morning that the Holy Spirit's spoken to about something, that they would be obedient and they would do what the Holy Spirit tells them to do. Father, bless the invitation. Use it as you see fit. Help those that need to make a decision for Jesus to make it.